Welcome to yet another episode of Yoruba by Podcast. My name is Temilola. On our episode today, we are talking about Pinsin Labolo Davis, born 14th of August, 1828 in Bathurst, Sierra Leone. So this episode is going to be very short because I couldn't find that much about him. He was a merchant sailor, naval officer, a pioneer industrialist, a philanthropist whose life impacts Yoruba people. Labolo Davis' parents, Charlotte and James Davis, were repatriated Yoruba people who went to Sierra Leone as returnee, previously enslaved persons. It is said that most of the returnees were from Abeokuta and Ogbomosho areas. He attended Church Missionary Society Grammar School in Sierra Leone. He later became a teacher and taught at the same school. After he stopped teaching, Labolo enlisted in the British Navy's West African Squadron, serving on the HMS Volcano. He rose the ranks from cadet to lieutenant in 1851 on the HMS Bloodhound. He eventually got injured during a battle in Lagos, and this subsequently led to his retirement in 1852, and then he moved on to his next career as a merchant sailor. He's living embodiment that you can have multiple careers in one lifetime. After he retired from the Navy and moved into the sailor for hire business, JPL Davis married Bonifacio Serrano, a Spanish lady from Havana, but she died in 1860, just 9 months after their marriage. 2 years later, he married 18-year-old Sarah Forbes Bonetta, popularly known as Queen Victoria's goddaughter, discussed in episode 2 of this podcast. I know at this point that he was an accomplished man, but he definitely married up. This was his second marriage. That marriage produced 3 children, Victoria Davis, Arthur Davis, and Stella Davis. Sarah Forbes Bonetta died in 1880 of tuberculosis. With regards to his business exploits, Captain Davis was renowned as a great businessman, in addition to his merchant sailing. He's also the pioneer of cocoa farming in West Africa. He obtained the seeds from Brazil and created a successful farming operation in Ijon. Davis supplied his farming tech to others, which spread throughout the Yoruba nation. There are a few anecdotal stories about what he did as a businessman. There's a story of a business deal he had with Madame Tinubu, dated 13th of September, 1864. So due to some political shenanigans, she was deported to Abeokuta by the colonial government of Lagos. Yes, deported by intruders. That is correct. So she funded the Egbas during the war between them and the Dahomey and ultimately went bankrupt. So this is where Captain Davis came in. He loaned her £500 in 1864, and in today's money, said to be something around £60,000. So I don't know if she ever repaid this loan. I didn't see the end of that story. Another anecdotal story is about a mix-up relating to his pioneer status. So the April 1916 edition of the Journal of African Society credited someone else for introducing cocoa to West Africa. The colonial chief justice of then Gold Coast also saw the journal and came to his defense to say, as far as I'm aware, the first person to plant cocoa on the mainland was, well, at this point, he'd passed away, late Captain JPL Davis, a well-known native of Lagos, who in 1882 used to tell me about the farm he had lately just made beyond the protectorate of Lagos. The reason I didn't mention that person was that they were trying to credit an Englishman as the person who introduced cocoa to West Africa. Meanwhile, it was actually a black man and a Yoruba man. But the colonial chief justice was also an Englishman, and he came to put that rumor, or at least debunk that story, which was great. Captain Davis wasn't just an astute businessman taking money from the general public and providing services. He was actually a philanthropist and in 1859 provided Reverend Thomson Macaulay with £50 to purchase books and equipment. And CMS Grammar School was opened June 6, 1859. For a lot of people that are from Nigeria or from the western part of Nigeria, they know that school. He also made a further contribution of £100 in 1867. He did other things with other people as well. He and Bishop Ajayi Crowther collaborated on many initiatives, including the academy. It was some sort of cultural learning space they created together. Captain Davis got married for the third time. So in 1889, he married for the third and final time to Catherine Goforola Ruffle. Apart from this marriage, there really isn't anything else that I could find about him apart from his death. So Captain Davis died at age 77 at his Lagos home, 29th of April, 1906. I mean, for us in 2020, it's harder to see some of the things that he did or some of the remnants of his work during his prime. But the two biggest legacies, I would say, are one, the CMS Grammar School that he funded. It is the oldest secondary school in Nigeria, and that is still there. There are lots of students that still go to CMS Grammar School. And the second largest, probably bigger, I would say, is the cocoa farming that he introduced. Cocoa farming was the backbone of the Yoruba region for almost a century after he introduced the seed. Like, it paid for development, it paid for education. You don't see a lot about him in the culture now, but his impact was immense and fell through the lives of everyone born in the western region of Nigeria. Well, this is the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you. Bye-bye.